Oh, yes. We are back. It's a new week. It's a new life. It's a new day. I guess it's time to do the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And once again, yes, you guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe Show. Hey, how's it going, Carolyn?
It's excellent.
And just like we promised.
Like we promised. We don't lie here.
We don't lie, and we fulfill all of our promises because we are real. We are real people. We're real human beings.
Yes. And we have, in studio, returning for the second week in a row, Tim Trueheart.
Did you flex, Tim?
Bullshit. No, I didn't flex.
I thought I saw you flex.
I was like, I'm triumphant. Yay.
Triumphant.
I was breaking the tape at the finish line. Yeah.
That has never happened to me. One day. I don't know.
You will win.
I will win. Thanks for being on the show again, man. We had an awesome time last week. We had to have you back.
For sure.
Because how can we not? Twitter's going crazy.
You gotta double up.
You gotta give the people what they want. And we want you back here. You had some amazing things to say. A lot of great stuff about art, comedy.
Thank you.
Talking about like how to be real, how to be humans, and stuff like that. How can we not have you back, Tim?
Dude, I am here for you. I'm a traveler, and I'm traveling back. And it's, you know what? It's really hard to find parking in your neighborhood.
I actually really enjoy the fact. Not only is it difficult to find parking to get to the studio, but it's also sometimes the GPS doesn't let you get here. I enjoy that idea.
It's like a hidden secret.
It is a hidden secret.
It is. It's like that Hidden Valley Ranch. I want to put it on my lettuce. I can't. I can't find it in the fridge.
You can't find it?
And then when I do, then I'm like, it was hidden. I got it.
Because that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
Now I want salad. You know, it's a really cool. Are you trying to be healthier? Because I feel like I just came back from vacation, and I feel like I need to get back to just eating vegetables.
This could be the fitness episode. This could be that episode.
Is this something you've been trying to really get fit? Is that what's happening?
I am a fitness enthusiast.
Are you really?
Yeah. Oh, did you not know?
Because I remember when we shot our headshots, which again I'll probably use for our images again for the episode. You were talking about getting into. Like, you're like, I need to cut down. I'm about to get ripped.
Yes.
I'm going to get ripped for the ladies.
I'm always about to get ripped. I just want you to know that.
On that note, it's time for the Carolyn's News.
Oh, yes. It is one more week closer to Baltimore Comic Con 2014.
I'm all about getting ripped.
Is September 5th, 6th, and 7th. And Joe and I will be there as Curl Studio at table A136 in Artist Alley. We hope to see you at Baltimore Comic Con. It will be so exciting. Not only that, if you go to curls-studio.com and click on the blog, we have a map, a show map of where you can find us at Baltimore Comic Con. It's really exciting. And not only that, we have some videos from 2007 and 2008 that Joe did for documenting.
Feels like yesterday.
It feels like the other day.
Did you ever see those videos, Tim?
I think so.
There's one where Carolyn and I actually do like a wrestling style like promo.
One's from New York Comic Con.
Yeah. Oh, that's New York. But it's up there somewhere.
But anyway, yeah, we have our old videos from 2007 and 2008 from previous Baltimore Comic Con, so you can see what it's all about and join in on the fun. Baltimore Comic Con is one of our favorite shows because it's like our local homegrown comic show that's been around for quite a while. I think around 30 years, and they are pretty amazing. The people who run the show are amazing people, and I am fans of them. And I will be at Baltimore Comic Con. Joe will be at Baltimore Comic Con again.
That's me.
September 5th, 6th, and 7th at Baltimore Convention Center. That is 1 West Pratt Street in Baltimore, Maryland. You will not miss it. It's right next to Camden Yards.
Are you going to try to go, Tim?
I really want to. I think I'm going to do it.
Are you? It's 3 days, so I mean, you have 3 chances.
I might do this Saturday. That might be the craziest day to do, though.
Yeah, it is.
But that's usually a good idea, though.
It's usually the best day, too.
Mm-hmm. I might have to do this Saturday. Yeah.
Are you going to cosplay?
Yeah, I think I'm going to dress up as the new Iron Man, the black one.
Oh, really? Yes. That yeah. Awesome. You got a support.
I know about some stuff, dude. A little bit.
Just he's enough. On the fringe, man. Yeah. Tim is on the fringe.
I'm learning things. I used to read Wizard, dog.
You brought it back.
Oh, man. No, I was looking through a lot of my comics, man. I got Alpha Flight number one. I got some cool stuff back there.
Oh, that's worth something, man.
I think so. I got to just make sure I don't, those pages are stuck together, man. I was jerking off to Psylocke or something. I don't know if she's saying that.
She's not an Alpha Flight.
I know.
It's been a special edition.
Yeah.
Must have hit the drum set.
I just went rogue with it. Ew, sorry. Okay, we're not doing fart jokes.
Sorry. You can bring in as many. You can bring the jokes, Tim. Bring the jokes.
I feel comfortable this episode because I was here last week and now I'm back, so I feel a little bit looser.
Kinda. That's good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I never feel comfortable.
We want people to feel relaxed. Like, it's their studio, as if you're just sitting at home.
It's a very beautiful studio.
So, thank you.
So we have Baltimore Comic Con SPX coming up. New York Comic Con
is the following week, and then New York Comic Con later on this fall. It's like it's convention season now, and I can't believe summer is ending. It's just so much going on, and fall is always a pretty. I wouldn't say difficult, but I guess a very. Congested part of the year. There's something almost every weekend in the fall. So
true.
Yeah, so Baltimore's first one up, and then SPX is the following weekend, and then we have New York Comic Con, and I'm sure we'll have a whole bunch of more announcements coming up. But you can always check out curls-studio.com for all the info. Yeah.
Mr. Tim Trueheart.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Do you call yourself a comedian or do you call yourself a comic? I always wonder about that. Is it two different things, or can you just be one?
I've heard people define it during comedy documentaries and whatnot.
Yeah.
But if you're just talking to another comedian, if you we're at Dead and Open Mic or we're at a show, then you'd be like, oh, he's a comic. You're a comic, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, he's cool. He's a comic. I'm gonna buy him a drink. I'm buying all the comics.
Has that happened? It's no, he's cool. I'm gonna buy him a drink.
I had some cool stuff happen. Bobby Lee took me out to dinner one time.
Really?
Yeah. I thought that was really sweet.
That's great.
Yeah.
Was it
you want to go get some food? And I was like, yeah. He knew but I was did a door
you,
guy.
Did you know that, that he's paying?
I assumed because he asked me.
You ever get that feeling, that moment you're like, this always happens to me whenever I go out with people that invite me. It's like, oh, let's go get dinner. And I'm always looking at, am I paying for this or is he paying for this? Because if he's paying, it might be I'm going to choose something different than if I was paying.
There's
you know
an
what
etiquette
I mean?
To it.
Yeah. So how did you feel? Were you like, okay, I'm going to get the steak?
I think the situation was I was a little, I was trying to tread lightly,
You're like, I'm just going to get an appetizer. I'm cool.
I was going to get something that I wanted to get because I didn't want to I'm going to be a bitch, I didn't want to be the bitch, and be like, because people can smell any insincerity, especially somebody who's on stage all the time. They're so vulnerable a lot that I think that they develop this thing to really tune into what other people think of them, because they're reading the audience all the time. So he's just like, get whatever you want.
He's
clearly saying it and letting you know, get whatever you want.
Because I'm always afraid of that.
Have you ever had a situation where you thought the other person was paying, but then you got an expensive item, but then when the check comes, they're like, oh, we're Dutching this.
I had the reverse.
I haven't had that happen to me, though, but I know that shit's whack.
I've had the reverse where I didn't know the other person was paying, so I got the cheapest thing that I didn't really feel like eating.
I've done that. That happens to me all the time.
And I'm just like, damn it, I could have gotten the fish or something like that.
One of the swordfish.
Yeah.
God. My dad used to I used to play a lot of basketball when I was younger, and my dad used to take me to the store to get my basketball sneakers, and I would really want a pair of Jordans because that was just what every young person wanted.
And that's over 100 bucks too,
I think at the time they were 120, which
damn,
is 220 now.
Yeah, and I don't know why they cost that much, just because
they can. Just because they can.
They had the best
Jordans.
They had the best gimmicks, man. We could put air pockets.
The air pump.
I was eating up anything that they said. I was rocking Cross Colors back at that point in time,
Those are Sinbad colors.
I was like, oh man, they got look at Taz and Bugs Bunny standing with their arms crossed like that. They are so fly. Hair Jordan, bro. So I would go to the store, and then he'd be like, get whatever you want. And that's essentially a
Jedi. Whoa, your dad said get whatever you want?
He would do this, but the thing is, my dad is a Jedi Knight. I don't know if you know this or not. His name is Lando Calrissian. No, that's actually not a Jedi Knight. His name is Mace Windu. That's my dad. Anyway, he says this, and then he waves his hand in front of me. He goes, get whatever you want. So what happens is, then I buy the Chuck Taylors.
At what age?
Probably like anywhere between 10 and 14.
All right.
When he's still buying my sneakers for me. So then I would always get something whack because he would mind fuck me. If it was with my mom, I would get like a pair of like, you know, Reebok black top with the pump. The Insta pump. There was a little gun they had and it would go. Tss,
yeah, I remember that.
You could pump your shoes up with a little CO2 cartridge.
Gimmicks, man. Everything has gimmicks, dude.
British Knights. All sorts of stuff. LA gear with the lights up.
Kids still have that stuff, man.
Oh, yeah.
Kids still have the stuff that lights up. And also, I remember.
With the roller skates.
Yeah, with
Heelys.
Is that what it is?
They're called Heelys.
Where you can roll around.
Those are the ones on the heels. And then they had something called soaps. And then you could grind on them. They had grind plates in
the
arch of the foot.
God,
and stuff. Yeah.
So many gimmicks, man. I love these.
I love gimmicks on my shoes. Hell yeah.
It's just got a pair of gimmick shoes.
What was that?
Those the Skechers. They're called like yogas. There's like a yoga mat on the, what is it called?
In the cushioning?
The cushioning is mm-hmm. like a yoga mat.
Okay.
So and then on the bottom of the shoe, there's like special bumps that like... Or
massage?
Not massage. That'd be cool though. But it's supposed to like help you walk better. It's a walking shoe, and they used yoga technology.
I think they got the I think they got all the cushioning from all the leftover Subway bread.
Yeah,
just throw it on there.
Ew, that's so gross.
You're motioning what like the shape ups that curve.
There's this weird like pendulum like curve.
You know shape ups. You know because that some people sued whoever like Skechers,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
and because they said they don't work or they actually mess your back up.
I
or
saw
whatever
that.
It was.
I read that. Yeah.
What a downer.
I just wanted to make my butt like nice and round.
But no, now it's going to mess up my back. I mean, I guess the butt does get rounder when you curve the back like that.
The one thing that the shoe does is it makes you stand up straighter.
The shape ups?
They did make
you.
I've worn them before.
And you're like, damn.
You will walk with a better posture.
That's
but
good,
it doesn't mean that it's going to like make your butt better or anything like that. It just forces you to like to keep your balance. You keep your back a little straighter.
When I was reading about them, they said it's basically like it causes the effect of how you're walking on sand in the beach.
I could see that.
It makes your, I don't know, I guess your ankle twist up or something.
My feet
or like your heel go the other direction so that it helps build that muscle.
You know what? My feet are so flat that I have to wear like orthotics and such.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. I had to go to the doctor recently.
Wow. I don't even know what that any of that means, man.
You don't know what an orthotic is?
No.
An orthotic is like an insert that you put into your shoe to like correct like something like an over or under pronation of your foot.
That's cool.
Hmm. Yeah, if you over pronate, then like you know you could get like ankle, knee, and lower back issues.
I have like a huge arch.
You do. You have the delicate foot of a ballet dancer.
A ballet dancer foot.
Yes.
So is footwear. Is that something that you really try to focus on? Because we're talking about like, you know, getting in shape and stuff like that.
Sure.
It's the beginning footwear.
It's your foundation.
You're just like, I got to get Asics. Am I getting these Asics?
I'll tell you something about Asics.
Oh, tell us about Asics.
They make a great shoe, man. Especially the running shoe specifically.
Yes.
They have something, if you're just a moderate runner or have a mild overpronation to moderate, get that Gel Kayano, bitch.
I don't even know what that
is.
I have that.
The Asics Gel Kayano is amazing.
Dude, it's so amazing looking at
that. Do you have the 2040s or something like that?
The Gel Nimbus.
Gel Nimbus is not bad. It's not bad. Any of those, that's the named after the cloud. They get the Nimbuses and the Cirrus and the Cumulus.
I remember, they have
good shoes. I love those.
I remember
when Carolyn
was looking for those shoes and she chose one. She's like, should I get this one or that one to like the sales associate? And he's like, well, get this one. These are like it's the most expensive ones we have, so they must be good. Does this stuff work? Does it work?
I think there's one level that's above mine.
There's one that's if you get the Nimbus, then there's like a couple shoes that are more expensive than the Nimbus and the Asics line. Like
expensive, as in
I need to check now for
there's something called the Gel. There's the Kenshi.
Is this expensive as in like the 160?
Yeah, this is about 160 to 180.
See, that's a lot. I remember when I was younger and I was looking at those shoes, looking at shoes in general, mm-hmm. and being like, $100, you know, getting the pumps, getting the Reebok pumps and stuff like that, $100. Now, when I'm older, I'm like, I don't even want to spend like $30 on shoes.
You have to. You got to spend at least $50 or you're not even going to get anything that's even remotely close to fly.
But see,
or functional.
Well, see, here's the thing, though. It's like, for me, I already have this price. You know, when you go in to buy anything, you're like, I'm only going to spend this much. Carolyn brought the shoes in.
She had to.
Let's go look
at
the
beautiful shoes. They're very reflective and shiny.
Yeah.
Okay, she's going to model them?
See, I don't know what they are.
I'm going to grab
one
of them.
They are the Nimbus.
Go ahead and grab.
Because it says...
No, these are Keanos. These
are
the ones I was talking about. Yeah, there's only
these
one...
These are the Keanos. Wait, so these are the best ones. There's one level above
there's
these.
One that's more expensive than this, but it might not be giving you the same kind of... the same kind of things that you're going to get from the Keanu. It might just be for a different type of foot type.
Oh.
So here you got this nice this like hard plastic arch bridge. That's really good. Then you have this in the forefoot. It has these like grooves in it, and those grooves help your foot to move.
Tim,
you know
your shoes.
Absolutely.
Man.
No, this is a great engineering feat of technology. It's also got gel throughout the forefoot, and then it's got different
what
types
is the
of gel.
What does the gel do? The gel's I never
gonna,
know what the gel
it's
does.
One thing is the gel is going to give you some cushioning, so it's going to really cushion your foot.
More cushion when for the pushing.
When you get, yeah, hell yeah.
And this is for
that's
this
when the skinny guy gets the big girl. Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
But this is mainly for running though, right?
This is going to be specifically for a running shoe. I mean, I wouldn't cross train in it because you need a little bit more ankle support.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of good stuff here. Like if you look at it, you have the different type of gel. Like you'll see there's a different gel on the forefoot.
So all this,
than there is
all
the
these
heel.
Little like knickknacks and stuff, they actually mean something
on
this
everything
shoe.
Is the form follows the function. So what you see here, what you see has, there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Now look at the other side. Now there's, you have this color here. It looks kind of like a crackle.
Like a little Jackson Pollock style.
It looks like, yes, it looks
does,
like.
Does that actually have this a is, function?
Yeah, this abstract expressionist density foam is different than the density foam beneath it. It's got duo density foam, and it says right here dynamic.
It says
duo
it right
max.
On
yes.
It
says dynamic
duo max.
But that's specifically this is like, so you get two different types of density foam here. This is an amazing shoe.
That's a serious shoe.
I didn't realize how good it was.
These are good shoes.
See, here's my problem with that. See, here's my problem with the
jealous.
I'm not gonna say those shoes are bad because those are great shoes, but like for me, I can't wear those shoes. Because the thing is,
it's
though,
too flashy for you.
You have to start breakdancing if you wear them.
Well, the thing is, I can't, like, you know, my colors are very fall or very, like, muted or very militant. I have militant shades. That is really bright. That is like a neon green, really bright. It might as well glow in the dark.
They don't even make
I can't any look. Let's be honest. I can't look tough in those shoes. That's the problem. I can't look tough in those shoes.
No, you can't, but that's okay because it's a running shoe and you're running away from anything that's tougher than you. It's going to hurt you.
I've always been grown up with like wearing boots and stuff like that. Things that like I can go in the woods and destroy something.
But you could get a nice hiking shoe. Like, would you fuck with a Merrill or something like that?
Actually, I've been looking into hiking shoes now. It's funny. I was just looking in.
Sure
I never buy any shoes. I was looking at hiking shoes, but they didn't have. It still wasn't mean looking enough for me. They need to look mean.
He wants like a tough looking shoe.
A shit kicker.
Yeah, that's literally what I need.
Red Wing boots and keep it moving, bro.
But what is your price range that you are willing to pay?
Because
for a real hiking.
That's
boot?
Like $100.
Joe wants
enough,
to buy shoes that are like $30.
Yeah, we're just talking. That's just like that's
and
what
I was
I want.
Telling. I was telling.
I
Joe,
saw those at Walmart, dude.
I was telling Joe, come on, those will only last like for you a month, maybe two, and then on top of it, I'm like, we're not like in high school anymore. You're not gonna buy $30 shoes. This is not like
that's,
Old Navy
that was,
clothing.
That's very scary to me that you're that I guess he was doing that in high school is what you're saying.
Well, like, I mean,
because in high school your shoe is essentially like your car until you can drive. It's like you got shoes, yeah. Then you got a bicycle, then you got a car, and now if you're a kid, you got really cool shoes, and then when you sit down, then you pull your cell phone out, you put it on the table.
Well, my phone looks badass now, but
now
see,
but like, what were you doing back in the day?
There's no phone. I learned the cell phone back
no,
in the day.
No, what were your shoes? What
my
did
shoes,
you wear?
I was wearing boots and like Skecher boots. But here's the thing though, I'm always looking for that deal. So like I have to have that coupon, or I have to find that day, or the Black Friday. I'm always assaulting Black Friday stuff.
You're a BOGO.
I got to be.
Yeah.
I gotta
no.
be.
He is.
So that's where I gotta be.
Well, actually, when I got the
I'm not a millionaire.
When I got the Asics, I did have like a 20% off coupon.
You get 20% off on those? You're stealing from them. You're stealing from those Japanese engineers over there.
Who are like jumping out of buildings because they're making iPhones.
I dishonor my family by giving low price.
We always said that.
Well, the funny thing is,
if you get a B, if you get a B in your grades, you dishonor the family.
My former employer, when I bought these where I worked, actually had a gym, and I used to go during lunch.
Heck yeah.
And it was awesome. And that's like the main thing I miss about that job. But like, I don't know, man. I haven't really used them since. So, like, yeah. Well, are they good for walking or only running?
You can walk in them. They're just fine for walking.
But now I'm like afraid.
They've got to be just
like,
fine
as you can tell, I only really used them at the gym. They are not soiled.
Right. You're like my brother. My older brother will buy a nice pair of shoes and he will put them up next to his trophies.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a weirdo. He'd probably like Copa Mundials, like the Adidas soccer cleat, and he'd put it up there. And be like,
would he ever wear? He'd ever wear them?
He would only wear them on the
field.
Yeah.
See, I only wore this like at the gym, which was a pretty clean gym.
You're putting your sneakers on a pedestal.
Yes. But see, now I'm like, I don't want to like wear them anywhere.
You're being a weirdo.
I am being a weirdo.
Just go ahead and jog through this neighborhood. Rip Fairfax up.
Yes, I totally should.
You got the shoes for it. They're rich enough.
See, that's my mentality too, man. Even if I buy like an expensive camera, I got to take it to war. You know what I mean?
Well, okay. Well, I feel the way you do. I cannot afford the dope shit, but I'm a very, very intelligent consumer. And I'm also like ready for prosumer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm buying a Canon PowerShot, like G12, G14 type shit.
Yeah.
I'm buying like the shit that like if you can't afford an EOS Rebel, I'm buying the thing right there. I got my fully manual functions.
But see,
I'm shooting raw. I know what's going on.
Here's the honest point though, Tim, and we're all this together. It's not the camera.
It's the photographer.
And I get so annoyed when people would look at like a photo or something like that I did and like, oh, your camera must be so good. I'm like, fuck you. It's like my camera's only as good as I can freaking shoot with the freaking what's it called? The box. Like the
You can shoot with a
what is that? The
oh, you can
the
shoot
light
with an
box.
Oatmeal.
Yeah, I can do that and be freaking ego would let me make it be awesome.
Pinhole camera.
Yeah.
You shooting with a Lumograph? Are you shooting with a Holga?
We have a Holga.
I have a Holga.
Did you see that? We
that
got the whole lineup
like
of cameras over there.
Yo, dude. You can
Holga, I do not understand because I think I was using it properly. I did everything that I thought I should be doing, but then when I get my film back, it always comes out just black.
It's user error, man. It's always user error.
Really? You think so?
It's still a piece of shit. I mean, you can make it work.
I taped up all the light holes.
With some black tape?
Yeah, I taped everything. I don't understand like why that...
I don't know.
User. Have you ever used that term?
Well,
Tim?
You know
user
what?
Error.
Joe,
yeah, I have.
Since you think it is user error, you need to use my Holga and see if any pictures come out
I've
for
been,
you.
I've been through this situation before, where someone's been going through a lot of crap on, like, say, like editing software or on a camera, and they're like, "Well, fine, Joe, then you do it then." Then I go and take like 5 seconds and do something, and it's completely perfect. And then they get mad at me. They're like, "Well, fine. I don't spend my whole life taking, you know,
they're mad at
I don't
themselves.
I don't
so
want to go
what,
through that
Joe?
Situation of just of schooling, schooling. Unless I'm a teacher,
I'm gonna put it out as a challenge to you.
An ice water challenge or whatever.
A Holga ice water
ice
challenge.
Bucket, yeah.
Ice bucket challenge.
Well, you know what? The Holgas, because I've had a Holga and then I've changed it in like a black changing bag.
Yeah, like the yeah.
Yeah, like in like a high school art class, and like a photo class, whatever. Let's differentiate. and you know what? Those things you're always gonna get like some like vignetting.
That's the
because it's gonna get exposed.
That's what they want.
Right? Yeah. It's the beauty of the. It's just like it's so funny. It's like what the Beastie Boys would use like shitty equipment even after they got good.
Yeah.
So they had this shitty sound, but they were awesome. So
yeah.
It was all good.
That's literally what it is.
Yeah. It's like I'm gonna shoot with a whole gun. No, but I'm not talking about you.
That's okay.
But everyone has potential.
No, see, I want to just clarify too about. The Holga that I have, and I also have a fisheye one, which I have not ever used, that's still in the box. Those came for free because we spent money at work at Veer. And then at one time, Veer would give you credits towards their merch store, which they don't even have anymore, I don't think. And then I got those cameras for free. So it wasn't like I went out of my way to like be
some type
of hipster.
No, not at all. Not
I
at
just
all.
Wanna...
I did.
Did you step out? You're like, I'm gonna
you're
be
like,
hit
I'm gonna
today.
Buy,
I
a,
to be.
Buy a Holga.
I wanted to be. I wanted to wear skinny jeans, but I couldn't because of my big fat cock.
You know what?
Those are practical problems, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to be able to breathe.
I don't know how people can fit into the skinny jeans because I don't know if I would call myself necessarily a skinny person, but I'm a thin person. And I like look terrible in skinny jeans, but then I just stopped trying.
You gotta have a gap if you're a girl.
The triangle.
I have the triangle.
You have the gap?
Yeah.
But like, I don't, and my legs rub together, and it's very painful when I get over 187 pounds.
But it feels weird. Like the, I still feel like my hips are too big for skinny jeans.
Tim, do you
I'm
keep track?
Shakira problem.
Tim, yeah. do you keep track of that number?
I got it. Well, you know what? And that brings us back to fitness. I got to keep track of my weight, man.
Why is that?
Why is that? Because
the number.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you one thing. The people who are the most happy with their weight are the people that check it every day.
Are they?
If you consistently check it every day, you'll become happier with your weight because you'll be like, I'm 187 pounds today. And, you know, first thing in the morning, you're like, okay, well, tomorrow I need to weigh 167 and three quarters. You know, I need to lose fucking weight. And
but
then, like,
are
you'll
you
do it.
Do you want to lose weight or is there like a look you're going for?
Okay, so for me, yeah, this is what I think. I have a classic endomorph physique, and we're going to get into it now, okay? We're going to go deep.
Endomorphic physique.
There's three different soma types, okay? A soma type is a distinct human body type that exists. There's only three. Some people are distinctly one, and then other people are a mixture of two. You've got mesomorphic, which everybody wishes they were. These are men who have wide shoulders, narrow waists, and a predisposition to gain muscle and not gain fat and to lose fat when they want to. These guys have square jaws,
A Clark Kent.
Like a Clark Kent. It's going to be
like a Clark Kent or Superman. Like
yeah,
a Superman.
Like some people that you can definitely, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Like The Rock.
The Rock is one. Arnold Schwarzenegger is one. I'm trying to think of like just a normal actor who would be one. You know who's Scott Caan? He's
Scott
James
Caan.
James Caan's son.
He
was in Entourage. That's a fucking mesomorph, dude.
Yeah.
Look at his neck. He's built like a goddamn shark, kind of. You know, his thick ass neck.
And yeah.
Like, that's a mesomorph. It's an actor. You know, they're out there. There's plenty of them. That's one body type. Then we've got ectomorphs. An ectomorph is going to be a longer, thinner, taller, skinnier person. They might be short, and then they'll be like a petite guy or, you know, a twink, a petite girl. the thing is, they have a shoulder-to-waist ratio, which is very, very similar.
Like an Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody is definitely a classic ectomorph.
Yes.
Penelope Cruz would be a female ectomorph.
Cruz.
Yeah.
All right.
And then we're going to go over to the endomorphs. An endomorph's going to have, like, they're going to have wide shoulders, but they're also going to have wide hips. And then they're going to have a predisposition to gaining muscle, but also a lot of fat when they gain muscle. And it's very hard for them to lose fat once they gain it.
And which one of these were you classifying yourself
in? I'm a classic endomorph, but I have some mesomorphic tendencies.
It's almost like we're like talking about politics.
It sounds like this party, right?
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to be an endomorph party, though.
Yeah.
This is the thing. You have to. These are just genetics, and
yeah.
You know what? You're born with them, and you don't have any fucking say in this.
We don't.
So you can't. You can whine about it for so long, and then after that, you have to pull your pants up, and you have to put the lube away, and you gotta go ahead and make some changes.
Yeah.
You know. So let's talk about it.
Well, see, for me, I've never been focused on that. I've always been, I'm focused on that, but I've always just wanted to be in fighting shape.
Okay, so fighting shape.
As in the whatever, because in a way, I just don't want to be. I don't want someone to fuck with me, and like I don't want someone to feel like, oh, they can fuck with me, and then I can't do anything about it.
Sure.
You know?
There's yeah.
So whatever shape that needs to happen,
mm-hmm.
like a lot of. Kickbox, a lot of like boxing, doing a lot of those workouts. Those are the stuff I usually, you know, lifting my own weight type deal.
Body weight exercises.
That's the type of thing I do, because I've always been told like the numbers sort of in a way, you know, yeah, the numbers do, but I never pay attention to the numbers.
Okay, so
I should, but like I've never been happy when I looked at it, so maybe that's why.
Let's talk about what's going on right now. I just want to circle back. Like, so I'm trying to be a light body weight because I'm built like an endomorph.
But is there a reason for that?
The reason is for health, essentially.
Okay.
Because of my genetics, like I have certain things that go with that.
Yeah.
Like I have a higher blood pressure naturally, and I have higher cholesterol. Like my body wants fucking cholesterol when it doesn't need it. Your body actually completely creates cholesterol on its own.
It's great.
You don't need to eat anything with cholesterol at all. but it can help you, obviously, but you don't need to. Your body will make it if you have a healthy diet. But anyways, I want to be thinner for health reasons, and then also because people treat you differently when you're more attractive.
They do.
Like, you can have a fucking 7 for a face, and then you can be fatter and chubbier, and people probably still like you to a point.
Because they see potential.
Yeah, but, you know, when you drop down to, like, a very healthy, like, BMI, you know, which is, like, let's say below 25... You know, then people are going to treat you better. You get your shit down to 20% BMI, 20, or your BMI is 20. Do that, you know? If you don't, then you have no right, if you're a girl, to look at another chick and then to be mad at her for what she's doing. And like, she's just, you're being a bitch.
I don't know.
Like, if you're doing
the
that.
World
and
will dudes, not know what that sound just accompanied by. But here's a real question, though. Will this compromise your act, though? Say if you do get... cut. See, if you do
my
that.
Act?
Yeah.
No, you're... not at all. Not at all.
I don't
all.
Think he's, like, to me, like, you're not heavy at all.
I'm
so,
not.
So, like, if you're, like, a Jonah Hill, like, big fat getting down to, like, slimmer, like, to me, that affected me with Jonah Hill.
See, that's,
like,
that's the
I
question.
I thought he was, like, I'm not saying that he's not funny anymore or anything like that, but he's not as jolly. He's more like a serious uh-huh. actor, uh-huh. and which is also where he's taking his career anyway.
Sure.
But I do, which I think is also a good turn.
And he's great.
It's a good turn, too, you know, but it did mm-hmm. at first affect me when he lost weight.
He was a giant when yeah. he was in the...
Accepted?
Accepted. That's exactly what I was going to say. That motherfucker was morbidly obese.
Obese.
Yeah.
Morbidly obese. He was probably almost, like 45% yeah. body fat.
It was almost like John Candy.
Did you hear his Howard Stern interview when he was talking about what happened?
No. Did he get a bypass?
No. He just said, like, all he was doing was eating junk food and crap. He didn't know what actual eating
he
like,
didn't know
well
about
was.
Nutrition.
He just was eating cookies and chips. He thought that's just what you eat. So he didn't know about vegetables.
He must be immensely talented in order to like just live through life and just do those things and then just act that way and not have that knowledge. You know what I mean? Like if I
there
know how to act, I'm going to also, if I know how to be an actor, mm-hmm. I'm going to know about all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know how he could just do well in acting and comedy and then not know any of that fucking information. I'm blown away.
I don't know. Maybe
you live in the West
like,
Coast and you just get thrown into shit like that.
He went to NYU for a little while and he dropped out. You know, I
was just maybe, like, but maybe he was just like all into the cookies and stuff, and he was just like, "Oh, food! This is food!" And he didn't know the value, and then now he knows the value.
Certainly not. Yeah, I'm blown away by it.
But this persona and the look and the shape that's not part of the. It's not part of your act or anything like that.
I want to do it.
Ready.
I want to do it for me. Yeah. Like I don't
for
want.
Health, yeah.
Well, you know what? This is the thing. And what's like, what is going on right now in the world of nutrition? Just right now, today.
I can't even tell you.
The modern day paradigm. Okay. This is it. It's optimization. If you're a man, I can't speak for women, but I'm assuming it's exactly the same thing. It's just nutrition overall and fitness. Optimize. You have to optimize yourself. So what you do is you have to design your workout routine and everything around your life and maximize everything you have because you only got 24 hours.
Yeah.
So first things first, let's break it down. Sleep. Motherfuckers don't sleep enough. You gotta sleep 8 hours a night. If you're not sleeping 8 hours, you gotta sleep however much you need to sleep to be effective. First things first, sleep. Second.
And that's tough for a creative too, especially when you're editing all you're working till the 3 o'clock in the morning, or some people never got off of the college schedule of just like not sleeping.
It's crazy because people think that they gotta ride a wave of creativity until it like completely goes away. But like some people say like, you know, that like there's a lot of writers and they go, yeah, I write whenever creativity strikes me, which is every morning at 6 a.m.
Yeah, like, I can't even do that. I don't do that.
I love to wake up and then immediately write until I can't write anymore. So if I wake up at 8 and I just keep writing until I can't write anymore, it's around 11:30.
Yeah.
And I just can't write anymore. But then when I'm done, I've won. I've won the day.
Yeah, you got something done.
You can't beat me. You can't beat me in anything else because I did what my soul urges as an artist, and that's to create or do whatever I was supposed to do that day.
That's one of my philosophies is that you have to take steps forward every single day in something, no matter what it is, if it's work or whatever.
Well, it's not only something, it's what we call sharpening the saw.
Yeah.
You have to be doing something that sharpens your saw because the things that sharpen your saw are the things that you want to do. So when you do what you want to do, you're actually, it's called self-actualization and you're realizing your dream. You know, like you want to fucking make that appointment to the dentist So when you do that, you feel good about it, and that's great, and you check it off your list. But you really want to like go out to the supermarket, buy that groceries on the list that you wrote, and then cook those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So like sleep, you got to sleep, and if you don't sleep enough, then you won't be able to do that really long marathon of creation. Because you're fucking too tired to muscle through.
But what is up with the people? Like, I've read about, like, for example, Hillary Clinton. I've read that she only gets 4 hours of sleep, and she's perfectly okay with that.
She probably is, but she's been doing it for forever, and she's just burning the candle at both ends. I mean, like, she could probably do it, but she probably doesn't want to.
But part of me is like, is this just some type of mystique, or like she really is sleeping for like 8 hours a day? But then she tells people like, I only need like four.
She probably meditates, eats. She's got a perfect diet. I'm sure of it.
There's like someone else that I guess is prominent. I can't remember who it was recently that he said he only sleeps 2 hours a day.
Do you?
It might have been a comedian. I can't remember.
Tim Ferriss.
No.
Tim Ferriss is an angel investor. He's written a lot of national bestsellers. The first ones was the 4 Hour Work Week. And then he wrote the 4 Hour Body and mm-hmm. the 4 Hour Chef. So he talks about the different ways that you can sleep. And there's one thing where a lot of people do well with the 4 hours on. Then you go 4 hours, then you just do your shit, and then you do another 4 hours later, and you get 8 hours in a day. Hmm. And then there's some people that do two, and they break it up. And there's these different sleep cycles, and you can get on one that's optimum for you. Like this guy was a computer programmer, and he was in Silicon Valley, and he was trying to do a startup. And like he had this weird schedule where he would do these, like, he would just sleep for like 4 hours a day, and he just did it. But he did like 4 hours, 1 hour on, 4 hours, 4 hours on, 1 hour off.
Hmm.
And he would do that throughout the day, and he would just sleep for 4 hours, though. He did that for like 9 months, and he said that he never got more done in his whole entire life, ever. But it was like, it was called like the Uberman sleep schedule.
Yeah, you definitely have to train your body for that.
You have to. And if you fuck it up, like if you sleep for like more than 10 minutes on like one of those weird sleep cycles,
mm-hmm.
then it'll screw you up and it'll take like a long time to get back on it. But that's sleep. That's number one.
Yeah.
The second thing, it's diet. It's diet. It's not exercise. It's mm-hmm. first sleep and then it's your diet. And your diet has to be... it has to be full of nutritious stuff, because this is the thing. People think that they have to eat food for energy, but what you really need is you need nutrients. That's why you can drink a kale shake and it can just actually fill you up.
What do you consume that you say is the best nutrition for you?
For me, like, well...
That you enjoy.
This is the one thing that I really like to do. I've been drinking kale shakes for about 3 years now.
Are those good?
They're good for me.
Are they delicious?
Yes, they can be.
All right.
They can be.
They can be? If
you're not eating vegetables on a regular basis, you know what? You will be if you... This is the thing. I am a hard-headed motherfucker, and I don't like to write things down. I don't like to put things in a journal. I don't like to plan. I like to free ball it. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't. But like after a while, I'll get into this pattern of stringing a couple good decisions together, and then what happens is then I have this positive momentum, and then I get caught in this positive momentum for a few days, and I look at it, and then I feel good about these things.
Yeah.
And but it takes so much effort to get to that point where you really internalize and realize, oh man, this is good.
Yeah.
This is good. So like when you start to take the kale in and you start to feel the benefits, really feel the benefits, then you'll just be like, eh, fuck it. I don't care. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'll eat dog shit if I think it'll get me to win the Mr. Olympia. That's how you need to win the Mr. Olympia.
You need to like mind warp your brain to make it think that so, kale you have is kale
as you have kale as a shake?
Yeah, I have kale as a shake.
So what else do you add to it? Do you add apples?
I have a song. I have a song.
Oh, let's hear it.
Okay, it's green grapes, green apples, kale, celery, banana. Green grapes, kale. Yeah, that's. But it was a little song I used to have. But anyways, this is what I do. It's green grapes, green apple, banana, celery, kale. That's just one of the basic ones that I'll do. I've got so many different versions of these. You say green grapes, man. Green grapes are expensive, Tim. Grapes are expensive. Did you not know that?
They are pretty expensive.
I go go canned pineapple. A pineapple.
I love pineapple. Mm-hmm. I'm actually addicted to pineapple.
It's great for you.
I love the hell out of pineapple.
And girls love that you love pineapple.
And that was number one on the list.
Also drum sets.
I have that on record too. Someone did a documentary of me following me throughout my day, and then I spoke a lot about my love for pineapple.
Wow. It's here.
I was just like, I can't, I gotta start the day with pineapple.
I'm a brown man.
But see, what is your thing against kale? Because I remember I was buying
just like everything, just like the olive, just like olives. If it doesn't taste good.
You hate it that much?
Well, the olive level? I'm not saying it's like that, but like, you know, when I first had an olive, it didn't taste great.
How old were you when you had an olive, though, that you didn't like it? Because your palate changes
like 12.
Change. Yeah, but your palate changed dramatically.
He's been
by the
totally
time.
Against
yeah, but the memory.
Olives.
Do you drink beer?
No, I don't drink anything. I don't do anything.
Okay.
I'm straight edge. So.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, I'm just saying.
So you're just saying that's cool, like it's an okay thing.
I know some
straight edge.
I was smoking weed in the car before I came in here.
I don't take medicine, so.
I have to take Adderall, to be honest, but I don't always take it. I have to take my Adderall so that I can.
But I'm not pushing my philosophy on you. That's fine.
Hey, you know,
you can take as many drugs as you want.
I'm pushing my philosophy onto everybody else with this fitness is what I want.
So here's the thing with kale. I think the first time I had it, it wasn't exciting yet. But I feel like you're talking about the shake. All those other ingredients seem like it can make it exciting.
Absolutely.
That's really what it is.
We'll have to do a taste test later.
Sure. So I say 2 cups of kale. You'll do 1 large Granny Smith apple. You cut out all the seeds and stuff. You throw that in there. I'll do 2 stalks of celery. I'll do like a thumb of ginger now. And I'll do 6 cloves of like a 10 bulb.
Ginger's good.
10
I like
clove
ginger.
Bulb of garlic. Ginger's good. Ginger and the ginger and then the garlic. What the garlic's going to do is they're vasodilator, so they open up your arteries and they allow blood flow through.
It's funny because I enjoy both of those. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I'll throw a whole lemon in there. Sometimes
I love the hell out of lemon, man. Mm-hmm. I love those fruits. I'm actually a really big
citrus.
Fruit, yeah, fruit. Anything really.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's funny because I can really sense what's gonna happen to this shake. I'm just gonna not put kale in it. I'm just gonna include everything else.
You don't have to put the kale in it. I put spring baby sprouts in it like last week.
Everything sounds delicious of what you put in already.
I put half an avocado in there if I want it to be more creamy.
Avocados are amazing.
I'll do a cup of coconut water, like a Vita Coco. Like a cup of that.
Do you, with the kale diet, do you eat a lot of like red meat or any type of meat or something?
You know what?
Like that?
I essentially don't eat any gluten. I don't eat any.
So you're gluten free at this point.
I'm pretty much gluten free. Like I'm not
by choice though.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the thing. Like I have a little bit of eczema that I started developing like after psoriasis. Excuse me. I started developing it when I was about 30, 31, and that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah.
You develop allergies.
I don't even know what that is.
Eczema is.
Well, the people need to know what that is.
Eczema is like a skin condition that a lot of like, children and teens will get, and they'll get it on the inside of their elbows, knees, and sometimes on their face.
Okay.
And then psoriasis is like pretty much what somebody that's a little bit older would get, but they get it on the outside of their elbows and their knees.
It's like a bumpy texture.
It's a scaly kind of dry skin.
Like a lizard.
Yeah, it's like chicken foot.
All right.
Yeah, it's like your hand in the winter when you don't moisturize, dog. No, but you know, I say you start off
like you get all gangster in the middle.
Yeah, yo, I haven't even gotten gay. I'm trying to just be like, this is how I am. You know,
you should be all gangster. I like to be gangster one day.
But I love red meat. I love red meat.
Really?
I follow a blood type diet to.
When was the last
degree.
Time you had a steak?
Last time I had a steak?
Yeah.
Last. Thursday?
A burger?
Thursday. Burger? I haven't had a burger in a while. I haven't had a burger in at least 9 days or something.
I haven't had a steak in freaking years, man.
Really?
But I can smell it and I can still taste it. I bet it's freaking delicious, but I haven't had one in a long time. I don't eat it rare.
Yeah, I love it rare.
I don't know how you do that.
Bloody.
Actually, like, I understand.
Man, I'm a man.
You know what's funny? Have you ever seen the movie, what's it called? Gangs of New York.
Hell yeah.
Remember when Bill the Butcher was slicing up steak right in front of this. They did like in one shot. And Bill the Butcher's like slicing up a steak and cooks it. And like barely cooks it and then starts eating it.
Yes.
I remember that and being like, dude, that's fucking awesome. It's but so damn, was that shit raw as fuck.
You've had a teppanyaki chef do that when you've gone to a Japanese restaurant, right? And they ask you how you want your steak. And then you go, rare. And they go, tsaigo. Tsaigo.
I was like, is that even possible? Can you even eat something that rare?
I'll go cool pink center sometimes, but I really like the cool, the warm pink center.
Does it taste good?
It tastes great. The only thing about eating a steak that's rare is that it's more chewy, and then you don't get as much of the fat. You don't singe it away.
Yeah.
So then sometimes you'll be chewing it, and you have a much, much higher risk of choking on it.
I do like that sear a lot. I do like that a whole lot. Maybe visually, too.
I love to get lamb. I actually
lamb
like to
is
eat,
good.
I like to eat lamb more than I like to eat steak, but it's much more fatty.
And do you remember up in this up in the Fair Lakes area, they had a place called Malibu Grill.
Mm.
And they used to just come around with meats.
Was it like a fogo de chao?
What's a fogo de chao? Were they
a fogo de chao is a churrascaria. It's like a Brazilian.
Yes, that's
like,
exactly what it is. Yeah, it's
they'll,
like
they'll bring different. Yeah.
It's exact on swords.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, those are freak. There's one in isn't there one out near the Wegmans?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I think there's one out there. There's definitely something. There's like one or two in this area.
But red meat, is that something that you just had last week?
Yeah, I have red meat all the time. I try not to... this is the thing. I live at home with my parents now. Yeah, I moved back in with them, so...
Is that part of your... But that's the red meat? Is that part of the eating with the kale and all that stuff?
Yeah, I'll eat that. That's not unhealthy to me.
Because a lot of times people are just like, I just eat chicken all the time.
I don't eat chicken as much, and I try not to for one reason.
Did they say it's evil now?
You know what? There's a lot of like...
It depends how it's prepared.
Did they say there's poison in our chicken?
You know, some of the chicken, there's some companies that have steroids in them. Like, I wouldn't
eat... They pump them up.
I wouldn't eat a Purdue chicken.
Really?
I wouldn't eat a Purdue chicken.
That's the no-go?
I've gone to a supermarket and noticed that the Purdue chicken, they were giving you the most amount of meat for the least amount of money. And then if you read it, it doesn't say that they're not using shit. It just says, like, Purdue chicken. And then look at other stuff, and it's like, doesn't have this, doesn't have this, doesn't have this.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, way more expensive, and they're giving me less meat, and then they're telling me that they're doing certain things as they process the meat.
Yeah.
So I'm just under the belief, because they're not marketing a specific way, that they're fucking pumping that shit up.
Well, if you think
they
are...
It's like Hans and Franz of chicken breast.
If you think they are, they probably are.
Dude, I'm not a dumb consumer. I'm a prosumer, as I said.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got your meat... In your diet, I'm down with that. Like I try not to do any soy,
no soy,
no soy, no dairy.
So what does that mean? You have no soy. What does that keep you away from?
I will have soy sauce, but I won't do any other stuff. Like
is soy bad for us?
Soy is not good for men because what soy does is it raises your estrogen level if you have a certain amount of it, like more than 31 grams in a day.
Yeah,
it'll start to have you build up more estrogen in your body, and that's where you get gynecomastia, which is known as bitch tits. you know that,
you
right?
You can't have bob head bitch tits. Or
I can't have, like, cause see, I'm kind of like a little, I have a little meat on me, but yeah. I don't. But like, people want to come up to me and touch my man boobs.
That's a high school gym move.
No
man,
people come up to me all the time and they just go like this. And just,
what?
I got weight, people. Dude, I got real chest.
That
moves,
is
dog.
Sexual assault, just, man.
Yeah.
Yo, but guess
that
what?
Is, that
mostly, crossing the line.
Mostly dudes. A lot of chicks though too. A lot of chicks like
this is weird. This is one thing I never really understood, like in high school and even in gym time, that dudes would do that.
Sure. You've heard a dude.
I don't understand
people
that.
People did that?
I don't understand. That's a thing that, like, yeah, like that's how people, like other guys would bully other people, or they'd play around by like.
Grab a dude's tits.
But watching football games, like they're all just like slapping each other's ass. And
I don't understand.
There's different levels to a lot of different stuff like this. Yeah, it's very nuanced. Like I was one of the dudes that would take a shower in gym.
You had time?
Yeah, they give you like 10 minutes to change your clothes.
I never had freaking time.
They're like, gym's over. Go fucking change.
No one ever said that. No one ever showered
in
mine.
You got 10 minutes to change, and then you got 5 minutes to get to your next class. You got 15 fucking minutes.
Yeah, but
it's ridiculous.
I swear to you, no one ever took a shower like in my gym.
I would definitely go take a shower every day that I was a senior in high school.
I wasn't even in gym during senior year.
Oh, I took weight training. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I would do, yeah.
You have to then. That's your...
You know,
you don't need to go take a shower if you're staying around playing kickball.
I knew, fuck yeah. This is the thing. When I was in gym, I used to fucking just flex on people. Like, they'd be like, we're going to do a mile today. I'd be like, good. And then I'd run like a 505. And they'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
So you're like an Olympian.
I was competitive in high school.
Okay.
At track and indoor, outdoor, and cross country and stuff. And weights and shit. Like, you know, people don't. This is the thing that we really have to understand, everybody, that you look up to people that are athletes and actors and musicians and all these other people because what they've done is they've developed themselves and you admire that. And that takes mental toughness.
It does.
And you know, that the guy, Donald Trump, is mentally tough.
Carolyn took track too.
You look like you'd be a good runner. You're like, you know, a good distance runner.
The sad thing is I was actually horrible at distance. And
really?
I was good at 55-meter dash.
You know what? I think that you, I think you're wrong. I think that you probably did better in those things, but I think that you're physically, like, your interpretation of what you were good at versus, like, what you actually are is completely reversed. That's just my personal belief. And that's the number one thing that happens to most runners in high school. And I'm, this is not like, not trying to talk shit to you at all.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
like, no, we gotta be honest, you know?
No, but this is the thing. Like, because you're a white girl, right? So you're
yeah, to question
you're
that.
Not fully, you're not fast twitch muscle fiber being. You're not super fast twitch muscle fibers.
I'm not.
Who is?
I'm not African.
Who is?
West Africans.
West Africans.
Yes. Not East Africans. East Africans are like from Somalia, Kenya. Those are going to be long distance runners.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to have slow twitch muscle fibers.
See, as long as you break down the math, it all makes sense. There's
the,
no
the map.
Oh, no, the math.
The math.
If you may break down the math of why, which is the map too.
Dude, I'm a fucking. Like I said in the last episode, man, I am a sponge, dude. I got a lot of like. This it's not even esoteric knowledge. That's why I was so blown away by somebody that could just not know shit about. Like, I know if I'm learning about everything.
Yeah,
it's one big thing.
But this is also why you're pretty solid. I've never seen you teach, but I think you'd probably make a pretty awesome teacher. Oh, you probably are a great teacher,
dude. I love it, man. I love teaching. I don't teach anymore. I actually quit.
Like, oh, you're
I'm done.
Did you resign or you like
I resigned.
Quit?
I resigned with prejudice.
You're just with prejudice.
Yeah, I put my dick on the table.
And you're like, this is my resignation.
I didn't do that.
Oh.
But I did resign.
Why is that? You're just like, I'm done.
You know what? It was a long time coming. How much time do we have?
Plenty of time.
Okay, cool. I resigned because I was gonna get terminated.
Oh, so you saw the. Writing on the wall.
Yeah.
On the chalkboard.
You know what? I'd
like to know why you knew you were about to get terminated.
I knew I was going to get terminated because I was on a professional improvement plan. This is something that they'll do to a teacher. Because this is the thing. I had tenure. So it's really hard to get rid of a teacher, especially if they have tenure. It's just, it's not easy to get rid of a teacher.
Yeah.
That's why, like, you had shitty teachers in school. You also had bad teachers in school if you went to public school, because this is a secret I'm going to tell everybody right now. A lot of public school teachers have terrible home lives.
That's probably true.
It's probably true. When I say a lot, I'm not going to say like more than 50%, but there's like a percentage of your teachers. You have seven teachers a day, and you had a lunch period. You're telling me that all seven of them had great lives when they go home? No, man, they had divorces. They have a lot of issues.
Why is that?
Well, you know, there's a certain thing that my dad actually explained to me. Smart guy.
Was he a teacher as well?
No, he's freaking like he's got a master's degree in management. He's got a bachelor's in electrical engineering or something.
Oh, nice.
No, my dad was an officer for like 27 years in the Air Force. He works in the Pentagon. Anyways, I don't want to talk too much about him.
We're not allowed to.
I don't want
to
fuck up his security clearance. Yeah. Talking about smoking Classified. Weed in the car before I come to do a podcast. no wonder you can't find his house. it's your highest level of competence. So your highest level of competence. Your highest level of incompetence. So this is as stupid as you can be and do this job. Like, so a lot of teachers, like, unfortunately, they'd like to do, like, other things, but they can't. And this is, like, this is as dumb as you can be in, like, in life.
So
you get to be a teacher.
They settled on that.
Sometimes they don't settle. Sometimes they tried and they failed and then they had to go to teaching.
That's what I'm saying. So they're just like, okay, I might as well teach.
Yes.
Which is sort of scary, you know? Because I always think of teachers, I always bring it all the way back to like the TV show The Wonder Years when they had this one great teacher and he was like...
But the one, like you say, one great teacher.
The one, but
seven.
But then he was like sort of radical and teaching them all these great things, but then the principal was like, no, you can't teach them that. Then he got fired.
I got in trouble like that a lot.
Really?
Sure.
So you were that guy. You were the one.
A lot.
Why? Yeah. What was radical about your teachings?
Well, the thing is...
For what classes?
Well, this is this thing. I went to art school. I got an art education degree. Yeah. So
you're allowed to teach. You should. You know, that's what all that's to go for.
Art imitates life. Art is everything. Everything in life is fucking. Everything that you experience in life has art like infused in it to some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Art is open for anything because it's just subject matter. Whatever you want to create, like your art. like, you know, it's going to take from everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're, and the thing about being a teacher is you have to be able to maybe connect two completely distant ideas together, and then like, so you can explain something to a kid who probably doesn't want to listen.
Yeah.
And they only signed up for the class because it was like the lesser of two evils.
So you need to have that relatability towards your subject.
Yeah. I got to be able to explain to a girl who's 15 who probably just, she's just not into anything, and she's completely goth.
Are there goth kids still?
Yeah, there's goth kids. There's emo kids. There's all sorts of different.
Well, those
types
are
of
two
kids.
Different things.
They are two different things. So I gotta be able to
differentiate. You gotta be able to get to both.
Differentiation.
I love The Crow, and I also love AFI. Hey, you know what I mean?
Are you familiar with Elliot Smith? Well, you know what? I think that if you really want to make this work for you, because I know you're a sensitive person, you're gonna want to use maybe like a dark red.
What
not,
is that? What is the
red.
Elliot Smith crowd?
Elliot Smith is gonna be some emo.
Is that emo? Is Elliot Smith? Was that
emo? Is certainly Elliot Smith.
Oh man, yeah. I was wrong about that.
You know, it's not Bikini Kill and Kathleen Hanna. That's certainly Riot Girl, yeah. My friend. And I'm telling you, there's like all these different. You have to be able to connect these two things together to be like, well, you play sports, right? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, maybe you can make like, did you play volleyball? And she's like, I didn't make the team. And I'm like, do you like tetherball? And she's like, I love tetherball. And I'm like, I like tetherball too. Now you like emo and like tetherball, and like maybe you can use like a heart, and the heart is on a string, and then that's like a tether ball, and there's a girl and she's playing alone. We'll just use black, whites, and grays, and then a red tether ball.
Now,
you know, and then this is fucking, this is how you talk to a kid, you yeah. know? I gotta get you excited.
Because like, that's what I feel like when I was being taught that I completely missed out on was, one, people weren't trying to relate it to me, and then two, they made it unrelatable. You know what I mean? It's sort of just like, I don't care about this, because they weren't trying to, in short, they weren't trying to teach me. They were trying to teach everyone.
You know, I'm not going to blame Bill Clinton for anything, but there was this, like, No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
You know, so when this happened, what you had to do was you had to create curriculum based off these SOLs so that everybody could certainly get to this point, right?
Yeah.
Some of the teachers are teaching to a test. So now what happens is, like, some of these teachers, they lose their ability as authors to, like, communicate the information to the kids, and then they're very boxed in. So, you know, it pulls people away, and they're also afraid of, you know, saying the wrong thing, because now, you know what? Now a kid could be tape recording what you're saying while you're teaching.
That I've seen filming
you.
That's how that
tweeting
one,
about
that
you.
One teacher that was doing like the cheerleader. What's it called? She did like a cheerleader act in front of her class, got filmed, and then she got fired because it was scandalous, I guess.
There's so much shit. Like, I said,
was that something you were worried about?
I wasn't worried about a lot of stuff until I got.
Were
popped.
You that racy?
They actually.
I was very, very, very racy.
In New Girl, they had like one of Zooey Deschanel's children videotaping her and putting her on the internet in the episode of New Girl.
Was that something that happened to you? Were you ever filmed and?
I was not filmed by students, but I had stuff that like I'd done that was like, you know, whatever. I've had a lot. I got lots of stories, yo. But I have tons and tons of stories.
But here's a great question though. Do you feel like I've never seen you teach, so I'm just gonna assume. But do you feel like, because I feel like this would be the goal as a teacher? Do you feel like you've actually been able to make a difference and connected with someone? Was there someone you're like, I think I did something well with that?
Oh, certainly. Certainly. And then this is the thing. What I would always tell the parents when they would come in on back to school night is that...
Oh, I completely forgot about you. Do back to school night.
Yeah, they would come in and then they would see me. You know, and then they would be, this is the guy that's teaching my kid this subject. Well, when you go in and you find out that I'm teaching your kid ceramics or I'm teaching your kid sculpture, well, then you're not like, well, this doesn't make any sense. And then I start talking to you and they're like, oh, you hear my voice?
Yeah.
You look at me and then I tell you like, oh, I went to this school. I got a master's in this. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Hey, you know what? I just want you to know that art is life, and that when your kid leaves this room, that like, this is not just about this subject. It's about when your son or daughter is in college, or they're out of college and they're visiting their friend in Tampa, and then they wake up, they're like, they've been partying. And I'm saying this to the parents. I'm like, you know, they've been, you know, your kid,
yeah.
You know, and they're like, I know my kid. Oh, he's just like his mom.
Yeah.
You know? So then,
I feel like that's the toughest part is dealing with parents sometimes.
Yeah. And I would crush that. I would just destroy it. You know? they'd love it. They'd absolutely love it. And, the kids would love me too, but it was about one parent will fuck you over. one kid.
That's all it takes. One.
Oh, one person can destroy this amazing, like, Dead Poet Society, essentially. They really could.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would just say that when your kid's visiting their friend, and then their friend's like, hey, so what do you want to do today while you're visiting, you know? You want to go to the museum or something? There's like a Salvador Dali museum here in Tampa or St. Petersburg, Florida, wherever it is.
Yeah.
And then the kid's like, yeah, that sounds cool. Yeah, I like art. I had a cool art teacher, man. Let's go. Yeah, I like art. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Because you know how many people will fuck your shit up. You can go and...
There's a lot of people that don't even care about art at that age level, too. That's like usually like art. I've always thought people would look at the art class as like the bullshit class. Just be like, oh, we're just going to draw nothing.
They do, and it's really hard to toe the line between not having it feel that way, but it's supposed to be as educational as possible while being the least restrictive environment possible.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, like, I've grown up being an artist, and I'm pretty sure, like, it backtracks back to, like, fourth grade when you start taking those career tests that they're like, what should you be? And you take those dumb questionnaires that
love them.
Determine. They are pretty sweet, but it is kind of dumb, like, at, you know, fourth grade. I guess it puts you in the mindset of what you want to do for life, which is good. But, you know, I was always pretty much on track to be an artist. And so, like, all my whole life I've been, like, gearing towards that. And it's crazy because just, like, I'd say in the past year or two, I finally, like, I don't know, a big bubble was burst in my head, and I finally realized, like, what the average person thinks about art. Because in my head, like, I had, like, this, you know, big dream and all that, and, like, that's what I've been centered on for everything. But then now I stepped back and, like, zoomed all the way out from the universe, and I was like, no one actually really cares about art. Probably only 10% of the public even, like, won't have a minor interest in it.
Pedestrians don't care about art, I feel like, sometimes. But at the same time, I almost feel like they need to not fully appreciate it, because to them it really looks like magic. It's almost like, how do you even do this? This is weird, you know? Not weird, but this is almost impossible, and you do the impossible.
It's so hard to get people a chance to find that medium that they can really gravitate towards, and then to get them to go down that path and actually benefit from it and see that it's, you know, to internalize the actual benefits that they get from it, you know, and really realize that, like, this guy starts to take a direct metal sculpture class at the torpedo factory,
yeah,
and then he starts to create this wrought iron fence, and he puts it around, like, his house, and he made that gate, and the gate's got the initials of the family, you know?
Yeah. So that's...
How do you get to that point?
You get to that...
It's hard to get to that point when you get home from work and you're tired. And then what you have to do is you have to listen to, you know, your kid. You have to watch your kids. You got to put them to sleep. How do you do that?
I feel like...
It's just hard.
It's like Paul Pope, you know, pretty much broke it down to me. Or during the documentary that I filmed, he says, like, you know, it will become like magic. You know, you're using a pen... You're using a brush. Pretty soon, people are gonna be online, and then you know what you do, what you teach people to do, will be making like the impossible.
Yeah,
which I think is cool. Which I think is very cool.
No, it certainly is. Are we wrapping up?
We are wrapping up. But you know what's the first time it's ever happened is that, like, we've been on for such an amazing amount of time that my laptop just, like, died.
Did it die? We're still recording into the.
Oh yeah, we're still going.
Great. Yeah.
But I might as well just wrap it up anyway.
But it was, I think, like, our theme song.
Yeah, it just dies. But you know what's great? I'll probably just throw in music back there anyway. Through some. You know what, Tim? It's been absolutely amazing that you've been on here, because you had just amazing... Because
such insight.
Who knew? Who knew that we would take it in that direction? We would take it... We'd go from, like, fitness. We'd take it into, like, the wonderful world of art. Your teaching, you know, your teaching world. And just talking about you getting ripped and stuff like that. I always truly appreciate all that honesty. Is what we're talking about, man. The best stuff is honesty. So where can people find you?
Okay, you can find me at Tim Trueheart on Twitter. You can also email me at timtrueheart@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And then you can check my website, timtrueheart.com, as well.
You know what? I think I was on that website at one point.
Definitely. You had the one-shots. I put that one-shots.
Yeah.
In
Hell yeah, yes, man.
The
yeah.
magic trick.
The magic trick.
I enjoyed that film. I feel like, I mean, I don't know if I pick favorites or not, but I feel like it's one of my favorite one-shots.
I gotta go trick? Watch that again. It's fun.
Yeah.
You know what? I overact with my face, man. I gotta, like, you know, it's like gotta be more subtle.
I say screw this. Let's just keep going for a few minutes.
Hey, you know what?
I want to talk to you about this experience.
This is the other things, man. Like we hit these notes, man. I want to, you know, I don't want to leave because people listen to it. I don't want to leave them being like, well, dude, there's a couple more things about fitness that I wanted to learn about. And then how do I what happened to you in college?
I thought it was really actually pretty interesting. Like to work with you for the first time, because I'm not gonna lie, I was sort of scared because like I didn't really get a chance to usually I do a lot of like rehearsals before working with actors, but I couldn't get a hold of you.
You couldn't get a hold of me?
Well, we did, but there's just like time kept on running out, so I was like, all right, we'll just do it on the day.
I'm sorry about that.
Don't worry about that. I feel like I'm always trying to mentally prepare for each situation, so I knew you'd kick it out of the park, you know, and just make it.
Wow, thanks.
I just knew. Because once I heard Renaissance Man on your
once you heard that,
I was like, we're set, dude. We're set. This thing is happening.
I'm like earnest about a lot of things, you know, and I really mean it. Like, so I appreciate that. So
did you enjoy your? I don't think I ever had a chance to talk to you. Actually, it's been a while since I've actually saw you in person beyond our tapings here. How's life?
Man, yo, dude, I got it. Yeah. I said it earlier. Like,
did you have a good time? What I really mean is, did you have a good time filming with us?
If
you don't have to say something because I'm here.
No. There's a couple. I've done projects with people in the DC area, and I've worked with them more than one time and didn't like it and kept working with them even afterwards. And I kicked myself in the ass because I was like, why am I working with these people? I don't appreciate this opportunity, and I worked with you and I really enjoyed it. I liked it because everybody was really cool, and being on the set, like,
because, you know, we actually made that whole set with our own bare hands.
The diner.
Wow.
That was, I'm so glad you actually used the diner.
That was meant to be made for a feature film that didn't get made. So we were like, we need to make something with this. We spent all this money make that happen.
You filmed it essentially like 90-100 miles from here. Like,
yeah.
For real. Literally. It's in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Like,
it's in Petersburg, even 20 minutes away from
Yeah,
Richmond.
For sure. Like south of Richmond.
I was worried. I was like, is he going to be able to make it? I don't even know if he knows how to get down there.
I loved it. And I really wanted to be a positive person on the set. I wanted to be nice to people. And I wanted to be somebody where it was like, hey, you know what? I liked working with him. Just the same way, like, I want the kid to be like, hey, I like art. I want to, like, whenever I go to a set, I want people to like, enjoy my presence, you know? Yeah. I want people to like it. And I felt that there. And that was one of my first opportunities to work on that. And I felt special. I come down into your basement and I do the podcast here, and I feel like I'm on my way to the things that I want to be, and it makes me feel great. I feel important, and I felt important there because you did such a professional job with it, and that was really special.
And also, we had like such an awesome lunch too.
Dude, the lunch was awesome.
It's really, you know, it's funny because like a lot of times on set, and this is me personally on set too, food makes people happy. Mm. You spend a lot of money on like production, spend a lot of money on food. And I always, for me personally, I almost get really pissed off when there's like no breakfast, no nothing like that, because you know what? Food does make people happy.
No craft services?
No. Oh man, I'll tell you what, like, I worked on one feature film like a year and a half ago, and like, I don't know what it was. In the morning, I'll, you know, for breakfast or whatever it was, I was like, hey, so where's the juice? Do you have like orange juice or anything like that? And then they're like, no, we don't have juice, but we have coffee. And I was like, I don't drink coffee. It's another one of the things I don't consume.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, you don't drink coffee? And then it became this thing where people are like, oh, Joe needs his juice. He needs his breakfast. God, what's his problem? I'm like, what are you talking? What the fuck?
Did you put that in your rider?
Yeah. I'm like.
You should make a rider.
I should make a
rider. You should if you really, you know, think it's important.
But like, you know, it seems logistical that like, hey, Am I going out of my way to be like, oh, we need orange juice for breakfast? It's like, no, but we have coffee.
Because
like,
the coffee doesn't satisfy you. You're too much of a diva.
I don't drink coffee, man.
It's bean juice is what it is.
I don't drink coffee at all, man.
You need a manservant.
I do. Why does it got to be a man?
I think it's like actually kind of cool. It's like a butler, you know what I mean? And he's like, he could be your friend.
You need like an Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
You need my very own Alfred. But yeah. Like, I mean, for me, that's those situations like that is why I get excited when I'm like, oh, dude, we had awesome lunch. We had
And like, I don't know, you weren't like, there's a lot of times Brian's with me, the other producer, but like when we're at the store and we're buying the food, like the craft services, and I'm really crucial. I'm like hardcore crucial about like, no, man, we got to have the snacks here. We got to get the right juices here because there might be someone that's like, I'm really personal about those.
Yeah,
things.
You got to get Tropicana. You got to do no Sunny D. Give me some fake
the Sunny
shit.
D. I even got freaking Capri Sun because I'm like, maybe there's some kid, someone who loves has the memory with Capri Sun.
Mm-hmm. Flipping that thing over. From
yeah,
the
and popping it in. Those are the things I think about. And I'm you know, hopefully the experience a lot of times is better than the film. and I just want those to be balanced. That's all I really want.
Well, I mean, the work is so the production value, like the production value is up there. It's great, you know. So
I really appreciate that you say that because it's like, because you worked on a lot of stuff, and I always know that, you know, we just want to keep getting better at that, you know, better at that.
What's your definition of success?
Doing what I want to do.
Doing what you want to do.
And being able to do what I want to do
so
without
worrying.
So
a certain level of freedom then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like that doesn't always go with big money. And that doesn't always go with everything being fancy. I mean, like I could be if I set out to write like an amazing song and I do that, that's a success. You know what I mean? It's like really it's like you wake up in the morning and you're like, I'm going to go and mail this letter. And that's all I have to do today. And you do that. That's a success.
Right.
Because you set out to do
yes,
what you
yes,
do.
Yes.
But also I really enjoy chaos. So like there's those moments and there's a lot of people on a film set or something like that where they when things are going crazy and they just break down and cry and they run away from it and things just fall apart. I actually can't wait for that because I want to fix that. I look forward to fixing problems. So if that makes sense.
No, that's completely. That's awesome, yo. Like, let me ask you this. Do you see yourself, I mean, do you write a lot of stuff or are you kind of more of like just the DP, the director?
I direct and I write. I mean, I don't really like on my day job I focus on camera and directing or camera and like all the departments of, you know, DPing and directing and stuff like
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
But of course, you know, like with comics, I'm a creator-owned person. So I take the most pride in the stories that I write and then put out there and put it together. So, yeah, I write a whole lot.
See, I'm starting to do writing now. And I'm just got like a screenwriting book. But
You done journalism before?
You know what? I've done some stuff. Like I took like a journalism class in high school.
Well, I think that's because of the writing style to that. And
I took a sketch writing class.
Yeah.
Yeah, at WIT actually.
Nice.
You know, I had this idea for like a blaxploitation movie to come out now.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, like, you know, there's like those really bad movies on the Sci-Fi Network, like Ogre and like Sharknado,
like, or like
it's a shitty movie,
Squid versus something.
Right. So I want to do something like about that, like kind of quality.
Yeah.
And that, like this is how much effort we're
putting. Like C movie level.
C movie, yeah.
Possibly stuff, D or C stuff. Movie, yeah.
Yeah. And then I want to do
when everything is so obvious.
It's what I want to do: African American Werewolf in Detroit.
In Detroit?
Yeah, African American Werewolf in Detroit or Atlanta. So it's like American Werewolf in Paris.
Yeah, but it's in
African American Werewolf in Detroit. You know?
I feel like you can have a lot of fun with that.
It's gonna be fucking hilarious. Yeah. So
the key into those projects is to at least get like one or two like C-list, A, B-list
like
celebrity
Reed.
Or something like that.
Yeah, you get some like some comedians that are kind of well known.
Who was the other guy that was in Sharknado?
Back in the site.
It was like Tara Reid and someone else. I never actually saw Sharknado.
I never saw it either, but I know that it would be sweet.
I remember I was like really intrigued by it. I was like, oh my God. Because I remember I found out before other people about Sharknado and just the title alone grabbed me. And I was like, Sharknado, what is coming out? And then like when it actually came on TV and everything, like I didn't watch it.
I did see Sharknado. I didn't see like Sharktopus.
Oh, I haven't seen any.
Isn't
of
that like it's like an octopus, but then the arms of the octopus are sharks?
I actually don't know
okay,
about Sharktopus.
That's terrible.
Sharktopus?
I think that's what it is. Oh man. It's
But they have a Sharknado 2 now. And I guess it's like this whole big thing. And Shark Week.
Do you enjoy
recently.
Those movies? Do you legit? Do you like
No, this movies,
sit
are, this movies
sit
are
at
shit.
Home, sit at home and like you're like I need to watch this
movie. Nah. I'm I don't know. I don't watch a lot of those types of movies. My favorite movies are comedies, or I like to watch like action movies.
Really, like Expendables and...
Not so much like... Yeah, I get into like sci-fi a little bit. I don't watch a lot of movies right now. I've been trying to watch movies in order to like get back into like writing stuff. But I just saw like movie 47. You heard about that movie?
No.
It's garbage. It's terrible.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's called like movie 47 or like movie. I think it's called movie 47.
So I shouldn't watch it.
You should watch it to just be like, okay, this is actually a feature length film with A-list actors and it's garbage.
So here's the funny part about that. There are so many movies that have A-list people that are garbage. I feel like A-list doesn't even matter at this point.
It doesn't. I mean, not when you got Nicolas Cage and John Travolta just doing crap just to do crap and Robert De Niro just trying to pay a bill, you know? Robert De Niro used to be like one of the... He's essentially one of the greatest actors of all time.
Is this the next step? Like, are you gonna take comedy? Are you going to try to take that and do more like acting or have a show?
What's going to go on right now is like, you know, I quit teaching... I'm actually living with my parents right now, and
which is fine because you save so much money at that point too.
I got some money, you know. I'm not doing bad, and I still have like one job at this like comedy club, but
which I think is pretty awesome that you work at a comedy club.
I'm in my thing, yeah.
Because the key is that it's not like you're distancing yourself from comedy. You're there.
Closer.
You can get to scope it out. You know,
I'm always looking at like how to like fold the sword. You know, if I was like making a samurai. Katana blade. So like one thing I was like, how do I build up a better network? How do I do this? What I'm gonna do is when I go on a podcast or when I have people that come on the podcast like Jellyvision, I you know, they're doing all this shit, go to those things, video blog that event that I'm at and be like, yo, I was just there, I'm back here with, you know, member of the Jellyvision show episode, da da da, and then I post that and I link them and I do that, and then I put that on my YouTube page and on my website, and then it's like, dude, this guy's always doing something. He's doing something with the same people. His show,
you become the hashtag.
I become the show. Like, I mean, the show is the show, like it's all one big thing.
Yeah,
but I want to do that, and what I'm doing now is I'm working on writing like I'm going to write a self-help book, but it's going to be like a funny self-help book.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a comedy self-help book. And I'm also going to just keep working on my stand-up, and I'm going to do a one-person show.
How is your stand-up? I don't think I've ever talked to you about your stand-up, and I've never seen
my stand-up.
My
stand-up is the thing that is my number one struggle.
Is it?
Yeah. This is the thing. Have you ever read the War of Art?
Art of War?
No,
War
no,
of
the
Art.
The War of Art, Sun Tzu. The Art of War is, I'm so mad that I can't remember the guy who wrote it. Anyways, great writer. He wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Okay.
So that guy, it covers like all these different things that you need to do to become like a successful, you know, artist and whatnot. And one of the things is just completely like turning pro and just jumping into it. So, God,
I try to refigure words, but I never say like going pro. I just say you're a lifer.
You're a lifer.
You're a lifer because you're going to do this till you die. Yeah. In a way, this is what you do. You know, so you have to do these steps.
It's almost
to
like
make
you don't
a
have a choice.
Yeah.
You're just like, well, you would do it anyway.
I would do what I'm doing now because, this is the thing, I wasn't making a lot of money as a teacher, even with a master's degree.
Yeah.
So if I ask you what success is to you, and you tell me that, I completely understand. Like for me, if I was making just as much money as a comedian, from when I was a teacher, I'd be successful.
Yeah,
it'd be like, dude, you're wait, what do you do? I'm a comedian. You make this much money, dude, you're kicking ass.
Yeah.
The thing is, if I'm even remotely where I want to be, I'm making a lot more than that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's ridiculous.
You'd be comfortable.
Dude, I was just talking to Ahmed. He's on the TBS show Sullivan and Son.
Yeah.
I mean, these motherfuckers, like, these mid-level headliners, and I'm not even trying to be a headliner. I'm just trying to be, like, a working comic. These guys make, like, $140,000 a year.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah, they make a lot of money, dude. And they're traveling, and they get a lot of perks, and they get fame.
Those are good negotiations to get to that money level too.
You gotta have a name or something like that. Like I'm not setting my hair on fire or like having people staple my butt cheeks like Steve-O. So like I have to develop my notoriety and my audience a certain way.
And yeah,
I told you last week, the guys, they don't have an email list. Like if you have an email list, like, you know, the thing is, if you had that thing since 2008, 2014 now, after 6 years, man, you'd have some people that really dig your shit.
Yeah.
You'd have a lot of people following you.
And that really is, it's important for Carol and I and all the stuff we do to build that name.
You have to build it.
But by building that name, that also means, you know, you've established and you're known for quality.
You're a credible product.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, once you become credible and once you become that strong product, then people, of course, will see dollar signs in you. And then that's, I think, that in a way, it's like by your appearance, you bring them money and you got that bigger money, you know?
You can't make money unless you make somebody else money.
Exactly, yeah.
It doesn't work that. It doesn't work any other way than that.
But do you have a good time being at working at the improv?
Working at the improv is cool. I mean, the thing about it is I'm a door guy. So, like, I get to talk to some of the comics. I get to shoot the shit with them. I get to see a lot of high-level headliners.
Yeah.
So I know that's had a positive effect on me. I learned some of the business and...
But even Trent Reznor was just like the janitor guy watching the stuff in the studio before he made his pre-hate machine. Mm-hmm. So a foot in, that's all you need, man. Dude, and the rest is up to you.
And I'm a teacher, so I'm a good learner.
Yeah.
So like, I've almost got everything out of it that I could get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not only that, but like even being there, making FaceTime. That's important.
Oh, I can't wait to like when Bobby Lee comes back. I'm sure he'll recognize me. I was planning on like I want to wrestle him.
You want to wrestle him?
I want to grab him. I want to take him down. I want to wrestle him.
Did you say that your stand up is not your strongest point? Or
God damn, man, I'm so happy that you Yeah.
Why?
God,
why is that?
You know what? I had lost my point earlier. In the book, it says that the hardest thing for you to do, that you like the thing that you desire the most to do, you really want to do. It's going to be the hardest thing for you. And if that is the case and it's the hardest thing for you, then that is the thing that you must do to actually, because it's such a...
You must conquer.
You have to conquer it. And the process of conquering that is the thing that will make you grow the most. And that fact that you grow that much, it makes you the best instrument as a human being for everyone else around you.
So
my stand-up is like, I have a little bit of anxiety and it's so...
About going out there?
Not too much, honestly, but I do have a certain level of anxiety. But like when I prep and I'm ready to rock and roll, I can go out there and like what? I actually am not afraid to say anything.
Because hey, I was thinking, because you're a teacher, so you spoke in front of people all the time.
I can speak in front of a lot,
especially
of people.
If it's teenagers. That's probably the hardest audience of all.
It is, and I think that all the things that I've done in my life will actually all like kind of eventually converge upon. I've been doing fucking comedy for 8 years.
Everything means something, so everything have take from everything. So,
but the thing is. The comedian is a craftsman, and they write these jokes, they craft them, they're very economic with the words that they use, and they have to make sure that it makes sense, and it has to also make sense, and then you have to not see it coming.
Yeah.
The audience has to not see it coming, so they're like, ha ha ha, because I'm making you involuntarily laugh. It's like, there's only a couple things that are involuntary. I have to say something to you in a specific way, you know, that makes that left turn, but still makes sense. And that takes a lot of preparation, a lot of like doing bad sets, listening to yourself in a recording is gross.
Yeah.
But you do that a whole bunch of times, and like that process and like, you know, failing and winning, that turns you into a real bad motherfucker.
But were you ever afraid of that? Is that what's happening though? You're afraid of failing?
It's hard for me because I'm not trying to make any excuses, but man, like I have a level of disorganization and impulsivity, and like I'll be like, I just sanded 100 ceramic pendants that I'm making for a commission. I'm gonna go jerk off because I earned that. Then I have to go write, and I'm gonna write for an hour, but I can't write because I don't have the I'm not as sharp as I was before I jerked off.
So is it?
Do you know what I'm saying? Because like this is the thing, motherfuckers are waking up and they're doing squats, they're running hills, they're drinking kale shakes, and they're not masturbating. And they have an edge to them, and they're ready to go. Jerk off, and you're soft, and you're like, hey, what's going on?
I don't know if you're a fan of the. I don't know if you're a fan of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, which actually opened up the show. But their documentary, Funky Monks, about when they created the album Blood Sugar Sex Magic. Yeah. There's an interview with John Frusciante, the guitarist, who talks about that tension. He's like, sometimes when I'm making a riff or I'm composing a song, I'll get an erection. and just the process of getting an erection, like, this is what's feuding my creativity, but I have to fight the, like, should I...
should I masturbate and let out all that energy, or should I compile that energy and try to make a song?
Try to write it.
Get that energy. So it's like, I understand what you're talking about in the relation to that. So it's sort of just like, that is the struggle. That is the struggle.
Yeah.
Because there is an energy there.
There is, and like I told you, man, if I start working out and like really hitting the bag a lot, and like doing a lot of squats, and like I'm eating shit like on purpose that makes my testosterone just go way the fuck up, and I'm exercising specifically.
And I think that is what it, you know, in all truth, that actually is, you know, like they would say, artists, they need a struggle, they need to be able to create something. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's exactly what you're creating from yourself.
Yeah, you have to.
You know, I mean, that's the masturbation struggle.
It's no. Well, one last thing, I guess, before we go, the heroic gesture. Are you familiar with that?
What is that? People know.
Okay, the heroic gesture is like if you ever listen to Kanye, he's got this song, like where he's talking about, you know,
which album?
It's off like his first album, College Dropout.
I don't even think I heard that one.
About working his grave shift. And I ain't made shit.
Yeah.
I wish I could buy me a spaceship and fly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, in that song, he's talking about, like, lock yourself in a room doing 5 beats a day for 3 summers. You know, I deserve to do these numbers. The kid that made that, deserve that Maybach. He's talking about he locks himself in the room and he makes 5 beats a day, every day for 3 straight summers. Like, he's making a lot of fucking beats.
Yeah.
He's putting time in. He's like,
discipline.
I got so many crates in my basement that you know, I could stack them up to like the top of like the thing that holds the spaceship.
Yeah.
This is like leads me into Jackson Pollock's talking about the heroic gesture, where he will go into his studio at like Friday night about 6 p.m. Maybe he'll bring in like, you know, a 12 pack of beer, some food, and he'll stay in that studio and he will just not stop painting until he'll come out like 11 a.m. Sunday morning, fucking like 3 pounds lighter, fucking dried out and shit, and like covered in paint. And like, he was just painting. And that is putting himself socially or emotionally and physically on the line. And that's the heroic gesture. And the heroic gesture like manifests itself when you're like, you know, you don't jerk off while you're training for this fucking fight. So that when you go in and you fight this dude, you have that little extra edge.
Yeah.
You know? So like, I believe in that shit. I believe in it, man.
I didn't know there was like this whole thing to like the men's.
Well, it can also be metaphorically to whatever you imagine. No, well, Bob,
they always say don't jerk off before you have a big competition. And I will say this, that Bob Beamon, he was, there was the world record for the long jump. And I think it was in Mexico City, 1968. He broke the world record for the long jump by 21 inches.
That's pretty big.
It's almost 2 feet. Yeah. It's like, these are the best people in the world. He just jumped 2.5, almost 2 feet further than the last dude, who was probably the second best dude in the world.
So the secret is not jerking off.
He jerked off the night before. He fucked like a Mexican woman or something like that. But they nice. Said that that was like, they said that he jumped so far that people were saying that aliens grabbed him while he was in the air and held him a little longer to just push humankind. Because if somebody runs the 4-minute mile, even if nobody says you can do it,
uh-huh.
if one dude does it, in the next year, 10 people will do it because like they saw it happen. He did that, and that kind of throws that whole thing under the bus. But whatever. I just thought it was interesting.
I like that idea, dude. I definitely want to see your stand up. And, you know, I mean, why not?
No, I'm just going to go for it.
Just go for it. Who cares? Who cares?
Hey.
That's what it is. Just who cares?
Nobody gives a shit.
Nobody gives a shit.
No. No, I didn't mean it that way. I mean, I care, man. I don't care what they think.
You got to care enough to not care to just go for it and then just throw it out there.
That's right.
Let your balls out. Just like in Jerry Maguire, you got to put your balls out there, and that's when people start caring. You know what I mean?
Two balls.
Tim, thanks for being on the show,
hey,
man.
Thank you. I like the way you did a little bit more time. I love it.
I mean, it's just the way things work,
hey,
man.
Hey, I love it.
It's just the way things work. Where can people find you one more time?
You can find me at timtrueheart.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at timtrueheart, TimTrueHeart. And you can listen to me on the Jellyvision Show.
Woo!
And that's at Jellyvision Live, or you can check us out on Stitcher, Podbean, or iTunes.
Cool, man. If there's something you want to leave the people with, is there a saying? There's some sort of something to help them out.
Oh, man. Just always do your best.
Thanks, Tim.
This show is brought to you by Straight Productions. Check them out at straightproductions.com. Also, check my workout, joecarabello.com. Also, goastray.tumblr.com. Also, Tim and I made a film. It's called Magic Trick. The Magic Trick. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty groundbreaking awesome. Everyone should go watch it. You can watch it at oneshots.com. One-shots.com. Also, Karen Bolevsky, comic strip Curls, comes out every Monday. One of the greatest things you ever read. Puts a smile on everyone's face, even mine. God. Check it out. curls-studio.com/curls. Carolyn, what else do we have for everyone?
Yes. We have information about Baltimore Comic Con again. Let me just take a second to
So, Baltimore Comic Con happens September...
It's September 5th, 6th, and 7th. 7th. I'm looking for...
Tim might be, might be there.
He might be
there. Is there something like a power or something?
Say what?
Are you giving away something? Power?
Power?
We're giving away power at Baltimore Comic Con.
Oh, I thought it was some kind of...
some kind of giveaway. I want to do a giveaway one day.
I might have a giveaway.
What was the parting gift?
The parting gift was Magic Bullet.
Magic Bullet. Yes, Magic Bullet. That's what I meant. Yes. Magic Bullet.
Yes. So yes, Baltimore Comic Con is coming up September 5th. 6th and 7th, and we will be at table A136 in Artist Alley. Go to curls-studio.com, click on the blog, and you will find a map there with a secret treasure spot right where the Curls Studio table is. So that is amazing, and you'll be able to pick up a free Magic Bullet number 9, which is our Western issue, with a cover by Nick Galifianakis, edited by yours truly, and it's an amazing issue. I can't wait to see you at Baltimore Comic Con. And then the following weekend, we will be at Small Press Expo. And later in the fall, we will be at New York Comic Con, the big show.
Wow.
Yes.
All over. Touring. All over. Touring like crazy. That's what we do. Tim, always a pleasure. I hope to have you back before the year ends. Why not? Yeah. Or just have you back here in general. Just spitting fire like you do. You know what I mean? Talk about health. Talk about, you can talk about whatever you want, man.
Thank you.
You can talk about
it.
Whatever you want. But
I love it. This is great.
It was really a pleasure to
really,
have you.
Yeah. Thank really you appreciate so much. You having here twice in a row. People are gonna be Champion. Going into the people are gonna be going into the fall being like, oh man,
who's this fucking Tim Truark guy?
We need to look him up, man.
Yo,
and they
man.
Will.
I'm gonna Google him.
But thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's today's show. My name is Joe,
and I'm Carolyn.
Be excellent to each other. Catch you later. When your heart begins